From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, those open lines. Yep, here we are in the heartland of America for a little bit. Here's what's happening. The U.S. is to end deportations of illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. as children and to offer the chance to apply for work permits. Under a plan, those aged between 16 and 30 who have lived in the U.S. continuously for 5 years would be eligible to stay in the U.S. The plan, which goes into effect immediately, is expected to affect as many as 800,000 people. Reports of amputations and smashed fingers have prompted federal officials to recall a very popular stroller sold in the United States. Three children suffered fingertip amputations, and two adults reported smashing their fingers in the stroller made by Colecraft. Now, approximately 36,000 defective strollers were sold in the United States and Canada between January 2006 and June of 2012, according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Children and adults have had their fingers caught in the opening formed when locking and unlocking the hinge mechanism on the stroller. The recall involves the Colecraft Contours Options 3 and 4 wheeled strollers. If you have this, go back to the store. Monsanto's corn has been injured by early rootworm feeding in Illinois. The corn has been so overwhelmed in parts of Illinois by rootworms that hatched a month earlier, renewing concerns that the bugs are becoming immune to the insecticide engineered into the crop to stop this. Jeffrey Smith, the executive director of the Institute for Responsible Technology. Jeffrey, let's check in with you on this thing. First of all, what does this mean if it's not working?
Well, it means that the technology is imploding, and this is what scientists had warned about. Monsanto has planted millions and millions of acres of their corn, which is genetically engineered to produce a toxic insecticide designed to break open the stomach of certain insects and kill them. Last year, in four states, there were signs that the rootworm was resisting death by this BT toxin. In fact, this year, 22 academic corn experts sent a letter of urgency to the Environmental Protection Agency, urging them to consider new protections that could help stop this growing resistance. But now with this effort, with this announcement today in Business Week, it turns out that there may be evidence that the technology is imploding even quicker.
Is this disastrous for Monsanto?
It's not only disastrous, but it falls right after the rise of super weeds. You see, there's two types of genetically engineered crops, those that produce poison to kill insects and those that survive poisonous applications of herbicide. And that is also failing in 20 million acres where the weeds are thumbing their nose at the Roundup herbicide. And now that the bugs are thumbing their nose at the toxic pesticide, it really means that the technology is not working.
What's the next step here, Jeffrey? What happens?
Well, they're trying to develop new genetically engineered crops. For the herbicide-tolerant crops, for example, they're trying to introduce crops that are resistant to Agent Orange-type products like 2,4-D and dicamba. For the rootworm, what they've done is they're soaking the seeds in a poison based on nicotine, and that actually can cause colony collapse disorders. So they may be creating more problems in trying to resist this resistance by the corn borer in the Midwest.
All right, great information. Jeffrey Smith, by the way, his website you'll find on our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Massachusetts Institute of Technology engineers have developed a fuel cell that runs on the same sugar that powers human cells. That's right, glucose. This glucose fuel cell could be used to drive highly efficient brain implants of the future, which could then help paralyzed patients move their arms and legs again. This is an interesting story, so much so we're going to Catherine Albrecht, of course, privacy expert. Catherine, on the face of it, it looks exciting, but you've got some concerns here.
You know, I, I actually do, George, because as people who regularly listen to your program know, I'm the anti-microchip implant lady. I'm very concerned that at some future point, people are going to be getting microchip implants on a larger scale than they currently are. We know that governments have expressed an interest in doing that, but there's just been a couple of catches. One of them is that the current form of implantable microchip, the VeriChip, only has a read range of about 6 inches. So it's absolutely useless to try to track somebody from a satellite or identify a hiker lost in the woods or really use it for any kind of nefarious purpose of tracking somebody, because you got to have the reader right up on the microchip, right up on the flesh to be able to read it. With this new technology, what it makes possible is adding a battery onto those implantable microchips that doesn't have to be charged. You know, right now you got to charge a pacemaker battery from outside the body and literally plug it into a power source in the wall. If you can get glucose, which is the sugar in our bodies that powers our muscles, to power one of those batteries and give a little extra charge to those implants, then they actually would be able to transmit a GPS signal, say, to local cell phone towers or potentially even be tracked by satellite. So it raises a whole bunch of issues on the privacy front. And then not the least of those, of course, is we've reported on our websites at chipmenot.com on the animal chipping. We know that those implants cause cancer. So if you start adding in these little glucose cells on top of that, you're getting a larger implant, which is more surface area inside the body, transmitting electromagnetic energy, and that increases the risk of developing cancer.
So science isn't all that it looks like it's up to, is it?
Well, you know, it depends on how you use it. For paralytics, it may be worth the risk of developing cancer. It may be, you know, something if you need something like this to be able to power a prosthetic arm or a robotic arm, then, you know, hey, I could see people wanting to do it. My concern, though, is once we develop the technology, I don't think it's going to stop there. I think they're going to say, hey, listen, brain implants, they can measure the electronic signals from your brain. We can use these to read minds and transmit all your thoughts to the cell tower and store it all in a global brain. I mean, it's really scary stuff.
All right, Catherine, thanks so much. You know, one of my favorite movies, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, despite E.T.'s epic journey back to outer space, there were apparently plans to have him return to Earth in a sequel that just never made it past the drawing board. And the treatment dated July 17th, 1982, filmmaker Steven Spielberg and his writing partner Melissa Matheson wrote out a 9-page plan to bring back Hollywood's most legendary alien in a film entitled E.T. 2, Nocturnal Fears. The storyline, written just a month after the first film, begins with Elliot, Michael, and Gertie, out of school for summer, attempting to keep in touch with pal E.T. via a communicator antenna on their rooftop. Here's where it gets fun. A mothership has landed nearby, steered by a group of evil, carnivorous aliens in search of a stranded comrade. And, of course, E.T. comes to the rescue. In a moment, we're going to talk about auras, your auras. Pam Ostley joins us on Coast to Coast AM, and that's next. Don't go away. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Pam Ostley, of course, author, consultant, lecturer, professional psychic, extensive loyal clientele, including many celebrities. Since 1983, she's traveled throughout the country presenting seminars and conducting workshops about the emerging human potential, psychic abilities, auras, and the powers of our beliefs to create our reality. And Pam, when you were on us last, you hit a home run. I'm still getting emails about you.
Oh, I love hearing that. Well, you're one of my favorite people, too, so here we go.
How have you been? All well?
Yes, everything's great. How about you?
Good. Everything's good. I'm in the Midwest in St. Louis right now. Left Los Angeles this morning. Oh, does she?
Yes.
Well, tell her to turn on the big 550 KTRS and she can hear us loud and clear.
I should. I got to go up into the arch with her. That was an experience.
It shakes at the top. Did you feel that?
I was hanging out with somebody who was incredibly claustrophobic, so that's where my focus was.
Yeah, that does happen. Pam, lots to talk with you about here in a couple hours, but you're an expert on life colors and auras. Explain to people who just don't know what an aura is, what they are.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, I want people to know that I'm a firm believer in things like quantum physics and whatever, and one of the things that Einstein said was that E equals MC squared, which means everything's energy, right? So I have proof of that because I can actually see and feel the energy that's coming off of people. And different physicists are researching them. They're calling them electromagnetic fields. Biophysicists are calling them biofields. So basically, it's an energy field that radiates off of everything.
People have a tendency, some people, to see these auras. Edgar Cayce could. Do you?
Yes, I do. I see them and sense them. And actually, I started out just being able to sense them. I met a woman who could see auras, and I was doing psychic work at the time, and she described to me what she was seeing and the personalities that go with the different colors, and it fit with what I was picking up psychically with people. So I developed the ability to be able to see them, and I'm glad I went that way because now I don't have to see a person to be able to psychically tune into them and feel their energy field.
A healthy person will have a different looking aura than someone who is not?
Yes. Yes, usually someone who's healthy and they're living their full potential, their aura is usually very bright, very strong, very clear, and in the case of you violets, typically very large. Other people, yeah, when they're either ill or they're frightened or they're depressed, their aura changes. It gets very compressed, gets contracted. If they're really ill, it can be very faded.
In any given time, Pam, in somebody's life, will their auras change colors a lot?
Well, the way I see auras, George, and again, I've run into people that see different colors than I do, but I've also run into more people that see the exact same colors I do. In my experience, there are lots of different colored bands out from people, and the one or two colors of bands closest to the person's body, and again, it looks like light coming off of a light bulb to me, and the two colors that are, the bands of colors that are closest to the body are the life colors. And in my experience, those two colors typically don't change. Now, the outer bands in the aura change all the time according to what's going on with someone at the time. So if somebody's really angry, a lot of red starts flaring up in the outer bands. Or if they're really focused on making money and working, I see a lot of green showing up in the aura. But those are typically temporary, and they change as the moods change.
What is the best color to have for someone?
The best color. I love that question. There aren't any good or bad colors, better than or worse than colors. It basically, the aura colors reflect back the theme that you've chosen for this lifetime. So reds aren't any better than violets, although a lot of people think that they are because a lot of violets seem to be older souls. They're more advanced consciousness. They seem to be on this, have been on this planet many, many times before. And so people automatically assume that that's more advanced than, say, a red who's here to experience physical bodies and physicalness and being an animal here and eating and drinking and having sex. But ultimately, it's just a revelation. It's just an experience of wanting a different experience here in this lifetime.
Let's talk a little bit about these auras as they relate to people with negativity, Pam. Do you find that people who are negative or evil will also have different colors?
Well, first of all, I like to discuss that there's each one of the aura colors, and I see 14 different aura colors and combinations. Each of the aura colors have what's called in power, meaning they're living the positive side of their qualities. And then each of the colors have the negative side of the out of power, meaning they're living the downside, or none of the colors out of power are very much fun to be around. Like yellows out of power are flaky and lazy and irresponsible, and they get into addictions. In power, they're full of life and energy and optimism, and they're very healthy. So it's not that somebody's evil or good. It's just that the aura color, their personality is either living the positive side of their qualities or the negative side. Now, I do see what's called a red overlay. And anytime I've seen somebody who's been very violent, a lot of people in prison, a lot of people that have murdered or stolen, whatever, it's very common for them to have a red overlay in their outer band. And that shows me someone who's been very traumatized or damaged, usually in childhood. People aren't born with red overlays. Typically, they put it around because they either felt unsafe, they had a life-threatening situation at birth, or they felt physically, mentally, or emotionally abandoned, rejected, or abused. And what this red overlay does, it's put on for protection because it's a denser vibration, but what it ultimately turns into is either a lot of anger or a lot of self-sabotage. John Lennon had a red overlay, and Richard Pryor had a red overlay, and Roseanne Barr and Rosie O'Donnell, they all have red overlays. And it's not that the person's evil, it's just that there's a lot of trauma in there. And people are uncomfortable being around red overlays. We tend to sense them, and we don't feel like it's really safe to be around somebody with a red overlay.
Can you change your aura colors by the way you act?
Well, first of all, you have a lot of yellows listening to your show, and yellows are the rebellious people on the planet, and they don't like being told what to do. So I would never tell somebody they can't do something, and I've got yellow too, so nobody better tell me I can't. I'll prove them wrong. Anyway, so in my experience of doing this for 28 years, I very rarely see someone changing their life colors. Again, it's the life purpose. It's the theme that they've chosen to have in this lifetime, the experiences and the lessons they wanted to have here. However, I have seen some people change their life colors because either they were done with it, with what they originally intended to do, and now they're expanding beyond it. Or I've seen people more likely than that think when they're young that they're not supposed to be a certain color. Their parents don't like it. They feel like they're wrong, so that they start adding a different color and becoming those qualities instead of their original true colors. But people can change their outer colors all the time by, number one, focusing on the qualities of those colors. So if somebody really wanted to get a lot of money in their lives, I tell them to start focusing on either the color green. Now, I know a lot of people use green for healing, but this is different. I see a lot of greens. Greens are all about money and power and accomplishing and being organized and efficient and doing business.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to add that, they add green in their aura. They focus on the color green. That'll probably bring it in. Or they just start behaving that way. It will actually add green into their aura.
Does an aura change, Pam? Let's say somebody gets a great job. They get that phone call from the prospective boss. Does an aura change if somebody gets excited like that?
Yes. It gets very vibrant and very big and very happy. And when somebody's unhappy, depressed, sad, whatever, it gets really small.
What do you mean by meta-consciousness?
Meta-consciousness. Well, you know what? I think that's beyond what we see as typical consciousness. You know, doesn't that mean beyond? So meta-consciousness is like we're not just functioning out of our five physical senses and what we think we know is reality. Meta-consciousness is like ESP, psychic abilities, expanded awareness, remote viewing, intuition. All of that goes beyond what we've been trained to believe that our brains are capable of doing.
With this consciousness, which again ties into auras and everything else, you've got an ability, of course, to see things about people's past, present, and future. How are things overall looking for us over the next year or two?
Oh, that is such a great question. And you want to start that right before a news break? Okay, well, I'll start with
it. So, you know our clock. That's good.
You know, I got my own show. I know how this works. So anyway, you know what? If we ever get into parallel universes, here's the deal. The one we're currently in right now, the one that we're focused on as we're listening to my voice and your voice right now, I believe that everything's looking really positive. I mean, you know, there's a lot of, when the caterpillar is getting ready to turn into the butterfly, it actually starts falling apart. Its legs start falling off. It literally starts dying off. But it's to emerge into a new type of consciousness or being. And I believe that's what we're witnessing right now. Now, there are people that are focused on another parallel universe that don't see that at all, and they're going into death and destruction and, you know, the planet blowing up or, you know, nature taking us out, whatever it is. But I'm not going to be in that parallel universe.
No, not at all. Not at all. So of all the things that you've worked on, Pam, lately, you know, with regards to auras, consciousness, psychic abilities, what main area are you concentrating on these days?
Well, two things. First of all, I put together my website, lovecolors.com, which is helping people find love and meet friends based on aura color compatibility. So I've designed that to help people, first of all, understand who they are, give them permission to be who they really are, validate who they are so that they can live happy, fulfilled lives. And then also to understand who everybody else is. So if they meet somebody, they see somebody's picture on the site, they don't go, oh, that person's really cute. And then they find out they're a red or a magenta, and then they can look about what a magenta is and go, oh, I don't think that's compatible with my aura colors. Or if they do still find them attractive, they can start dialoguing with them understanding that person's priorities and needs and everything. So I created a site to help people get to know everyone, to find love, to help them get along. That's one of the projects that I'm working on right now. And then, of course, the other stuff is going into using parallel universes and time travel and warping time. And that's another one of my passions.
Well, let's talk a little bit about both when we come back, Pam. And then later on, we'll take phone calls with Pam Ostley right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie in the cave in St. Louis. Pam Ostley with us as we talk about life colors, aura colors, of course, and consciousness as well. I am very fascinated by the colors between people in a relationship. Pam, what do you generally see with people who are mixed in together, in love, for example?
Well, you know what? There's certain, each one of the aura colors has a personality type attached to it, and there are certain aura color personalities that are really compatible. For example, you've got yellow and violet. The Beatles were all yellow-violet. So when you get violets together, the charisma that happens, it's like, what about this? Yeah, what about this? This, and they're all visionary, and they're just amazing people together. The problem with violets, if they get out of power, is each violet wants to have their own spotlight. They want to have their own vision. They want to do their own life. So if violets are going to be in relationship, they have to make sure that they either share the same vision and the same direction, or that they respect each other and support each other living their independent vision, and then come together just to have, you know, the chemistry, the passion. So there are certain aura color personalities that are great together. They can accomplish amazing things together, and they have the same dreams and visions and priorities and beliefs. And then there are certain aura colors, George, that, oh my gosh, you don't even want to be in the same room with them.
They just don't mix, do they?
No, the personalities are just, and you can, you know what? I tell people, even if we can't all see auras, we can feel them. I'm sure everybody has been around people that they instantly like, they feel comfortable with, or they feel drawn to, and they don't know why. And then other people you just don't even want to be in the same room with. And I'm sure we've all been around couples that you just go, oh my gosh, why are you two together?
Yeah, we've seen that happen a lot. Can people be taught how to read auras?
Yes. Yes, and actually, to end with that one, too, people can be taught, even if they have incompatible aura colors, they can be taught how to get along, how to actually bring out the best in each other and respect each other's differences and help them, you know, live their full priority, I mean, their full potential here. And so, I'm sorry, what did you just ask me? Oh, can we learn to see auras? Yes.
Yeah.
I actually have, on one of my sites, auracolors.com, I actually have a handout that people can sign up for free, and I send it to them, teaching them how to see it. A lot of people, depending on who they are, you have different personalities. Like violets have the first ability to be able to see things because violets come from the third eye, and they're very visionary. Blues tend to be more psychic and emotionally feel what's going on with people. So they can tell a person's aura colors usually by the emotional feeling of the person first. And then yellows are very kinesthetic. So yellows have a tendency to feel the person's aura first, or their energy field. And then greens and tans, they need the data, the information. So usually when greens read about the different colors and they get the information, then they can identify somebody just by, oh, I see how they're acting, I see how they're talking, I know what their aura color is.
Pam, do you find that people who might not have auras that are attractive to each other, generally they're not going to have that spark? It's not going to work out?
Yeah, you know, very rarely do they have chemistry with each other. And then, again, I believe anything's possible. I mean, there are couples out there, we all know them, that they stayed together forever, even though they really didn't have anything in common. They were just that way. So, yeah, there's people that don't have compatible aura colors, as much as it's possible for them to be in a relationship forever and to work it out, it's going to be more challenging. They're going to have to work extra hard at having a happy, fulfilling relationship together.
Tell me a little bit more about your work with parallel universes and other dimensions. What have you been doing?
Ooh, fun. Well, George, one of the reasons I do my work is I love knowing that we are bigger and more expansive beings than we've been taught. Mm-hmm. And I study quantum physics, and I hear what all these physicists are talking about, and it amazes me that we're not living that information. I mean, the fact that they say that we're all energy, it's like, do you know how profound that is? It's like we shouldn't be dying. We shouldn't be getting sick. We shouldn't be aging. It's amazing. We should be able to do magic if we really got that. And they're also saying that parallel universes. Now, of course, these are quantum physicists, not classical physicists or Newtonian physics, who still believe that the universe is separate from us and we have very little say over it. We're kind of victims or puppets to what's going on. And quantum physics is basically saying that our consciousness is completely involved in creating reality and creating our experiences. And that is mind-blowing to me. And so I do what I can to actually learn how to live that. I experiment with it. And dealing with parallel universes is one of the things that I went, you know what? I know they're real because I can speak to people who have crossed over. I can speak to people's past, present, and future. So I've experienced other dimensions, other parallel universes. So I already know they're real, but being able to maneuver through them, being able to manipulate them, to me, I'm like, I want people to know we can do this, that we have more power and we're more, I'm going to use the word magical just because I love that word.
Sure.
We're less limited than we've been taught. And George, this is so cool. They've actually invited me to speak at the TEDx conferences.
That's coming up, isn't it?
Is that amazing? It's on 11/11 this year, TEDx.
Cool.
And the fact that I can actually demonstrate or live what physicists are talking about is one of the reasons that they're having me as a speaker.
Are you going to talk primarily about these dimensions?
Yes. Well, I'm going to talk on, well, I get 18 minutes. So I'm going to talk about energy. I'm going to talk about parallel universes. I'm going to talk about what quantum physics is saying versus how we keep living a Newtonian mindset or a classical mindset. And it's like, come on, you guys, it's time to evolve. Are you kidding? Do you see what's really going on here? We could actually change our lives and change the world if we'd get it.
And when they say 18 minutes, they mean 18 minutes, by the way, Pam.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, they'll have a little stopwatch up there by you.
Oh, we have to do rehearsal the day before. I mean, some people get 5 minutes, some get 10. They're giving me 18 minutes, which I am so grateful for.
What do you think these dimensions are?
What or where?
What?
What? Basically, they're just different dimensions, different of energy. They're different levels, as far as I'm concerned, of consciousness. It's kind of like, you know, we can't see them just like we can't see radio waves, but they're all around us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are tuned into one radio station, you're going to pick up the frequency or the vibration of that radio station, and you're going to be able to hear what's being broadcast there. The other radio waves are all around us, all at the same time, but we don't perceive them. We're not listening to them. We can't tell what information is being broadcast because we're not tuning into them. Now, we think we have to have some sort of tuner or receiver in order to pick up those radio stations. But what I've noticed is our consciousness is way more evolved than any kind of radio receiver. Haven't you ever woken up with a song in your mind?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Well, you know what? I've experimented with this. When I wake up with a song in my mind, I turn on the radio right away just to see, and I start changing the dials. My goodness, there's the radio right there. There's the song that I'm hearing in my head right there.
There
so obviously
is.
My mind picked up on the frequency of the energy that's, you know, the information. It's all just waves of energy and information being broadcast through the air, right?
Well, there's no doubt.
Are.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, people, events are connected that way. You know, how many times, for example, have you sent somebody a message, whether it was an email, a text message, a phone call, and at that moment, that person is doing the same to you?
Right.
I mean,
that happened with me being on your show this time, by the way.
Oh, really? Tell me, what happened?
It was so cool. Well, first of all, at the beginning of this week, I went, okay, I'm going to be on George's show again, and they're going to have me on a Friday this time so I don't have to see clients the next day and get up really early. Well, that's cool, and they're going to have me on from 10 to 2 this time. Okay, good, I like that. And then I was looking at your site. I was perusing the site and looking at everything on it when your producer called and said, we want you on tonight. I went, okay, there we go.
Timing, it's everything. When people deal with you, what are they more interested in? Health? Relationships, money, what comes up as number one?
Number one is life direction. Most people, they're depressed, they're lost, they want their lives to be happier, so that seems to take precedence. And then it filters into the branches off of that are either my relationship is falling apart, or I want a relationship in my life and I can't find love, or it's I don't like my career, I don't like my job, help me with that. I'm seeing a lot of health. And actually, George, what's interesting right now is I'm seeing a lot of violets coming to me, because this is a violet era, a violet consciousness age right now. So violets are getting squeezed. If violets aren't doing what they came here to do, boy, they are getting the rug pulled out, the tension's there. So I'm getting a lot of violets coming to me about what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. It's big right now for them.
Pam, are you sensing anything impending out there, something big on the horizon?
You know what, George? I have been feeling things shifting so rapidly, and every so often I get waves of just intense energy. I mean, last weekend it just clobbered me, and I'm usually optimistic and up and fun, and there was an energy going through the universe that was so dense and so heavy I couldn't even function, and that's not even me. So it's, I can feel usually when there's going to be some sort of earthquake, I can feel the energy waves. But a lot of times I can feel it in the consciousness. You know, they did that with the random number generator, right? That they measure the consciousness and the, you know, random number generator, what either does zeros or it does ones, and it shows up in just a random pattern. And do you know that hours before the first plane hit the World Trade Center, there was a spike in these random generator computers that were placed all around the world? It spiked 2 hours before that happened. So somehow we're very in tune, we're very psychic. We had a premonition in the world consciousness that something big was happening. And that's what it feels like it's doing almost all the time now.
See, we need to get people trained, though, Pam, where they hone in on that. I mean, there's no doubt we see those spikes. People feel something impending. But they just can't zone in on it and be very specific. They can't say it's an earthquake and it's going to be here, or it's going to be this tragedy here. That they can't do that yet. Why not?
Well, first of all, we've all been bombarded by information overload. So basically, we've got TVs and radios and horns and traffic and work and money issues and whatever. We're so distracted by all the everyday chaos of life that we haven't taken time to just be quiet and get really tuned into it and practice. It's like I even know to do that, to sit and meditate every day, and boy, do I get caught up in the emergencies of people, problems, and I'll go ahead and take them on. It's like, Pam, you know that you're supposed to be quiet so you can connect with that more. So bottom line, we're getting distracted. Number two, we haven't been trained to think that that's possible. Number three, we're not paying attention to it, slowing down, being still, and practicing. And I feel like the more we do that, the more we're going to pick up on it. I'm more interested in when we pick up those things, can we change them? Are we going to do something about it so those disasters don't have to happen?
Can we change things?
Yes. I absolutely believe that we can. And you know what? Even to the extent this is going to be off the charts for some people, but I've changed the weather before. I've changed things. A lot of us felt that there were earthquakes coming, and we all got meditative, and we sent out energy, and we know that we calmed it down. There was still an earthquake, but it wasn't as big as we knew what was coming. I know how to change the weather. And the way we do that is, you know, if you're around somebody and you can feel their energy coming off of them, if they're really angry, you can kind of feel it from someone. Well, your energy doesn't just stop at your body. It doesn't even just stop at your aura. It radiates out into the atmosphere. That's why you can walk into someone's home and feel the tension in there, or the happiness and the lightness, or the peace. So we extend it out, and actually the weather, the universe, and the environment, nature, whatever you want to call it, responds to it. It picks up on it. So can you imagine if an entire area, a city of people, is under tension or they're angry, what kind of energy they're going to start creating with either the weather or fires or floods or tornadoes? I really believe that we're connected with the environment or nature, and we're affecting it.
Pam, does the planet itself have a color, like an aura?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, you're the first person that's asked me that. Thank you. Yes, Earth has a blue aura. And it's funny that we call it the blue planet just because we think it's water, but it actually has a blue aura. And the life lesson of a blue personality type is learning about love. It's all about love for a blue. So that's interesting. And cities and countries and towns and states also have aura colors.
I like that. I like the fact that, to me, that convinces me even more that the planet's alive.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I just watched something on Through the Wormhole with a physicist who said he believes that the entire universe is alive. And that's been my experience, too. And that there's energy everywhere, and there's a consciousness to all this energy, so the entire universe is alive.
How could it not be, Pam?
Right. I agree. All consciousness.
Well, absolutely.
It's all life.
Tell me a little bit more about these various websites that you've got for specific purposes. I think people would be interested in that.
Okay, great. First of all, there's lovecolors.com. And if people want to know their aura colors, they can go and take the aura color quiz for free. They can find out who they are. They can find out who their partner is, their children, their parents, whatever, their coworkers. That's all free. And it's a site for love, for meeting love and friendship. And then also I've got auracolors.com. And people can go there and take the quiz also and find out all kinds of other things. I've got tons of information on all these sites. Lovecolors.com, I've even got videos on there. If people don't want to read about their colors, they can go watch all the videos that I've prepared about each one of the colors.
Wow, that's exciting stuff. Pam, we're going to take a break pretty soon. We're going to come back and take phone calls with you here. Now, when you look at some of these other dimensions, do you ever see dark-sided creatures in those other dimensions?
That hasn't been my experience, but George, because I'm a strong believer that our beliefs create our reality, I don't have a belief that those things are real, other than in people's imagination or in our nightmares, or if people believe in them, they create those experiences. That's not where I want to go, so I don't choose to believe in them, therefore I don't have those experiences.
Oh, well, that's a good thing, but some people must, I bet.
Oh, I'm sure they do because, well, you know what? We're all having different movies here. It's like whatever experience people want to have, I'm all for it. I don't try to change people's movies. I just kind of add a different type of consciousness to get them to see that there's a choice in how they're believing. But I know people have those experiences. My experience of anyone that's ever been on the other side is the majority of them have been very happy, very helpful, much more conscious because they can see more clearly. They're not inundated with all the denseness that we're around a lot of times or the way we think here. I've only, in the 28 years that I've done this, I've only seen one person on the other side who had crossed over who had committed suicide. And he had so much remorse towards his Catholic mother that he was kind of low energy and was hanging out with his mother trying to make it up to her, trying to make her know that he was okay. That was the only experience I've ever had. Although I have spoken to people on the other side, like somebody's mother was on the other side. Boy, she did not give up being controlling and demanding on him yet. No way she was going to drop that personality trait yet.
You have some specific goals about consciousness. You're out to see people happy and fulfilled. Do you think you're going to succeed?
That's the universe I'm heading into, I'll tell you that. Right now, I still believe that people are struggling and suffering, and they're having challenging times. But my goal is to do everything I can to help bring a lightness, a happiness, an awareness by raising the consciousness about knowing who we really are and that we don't have to be victims, that we create our own reality, and that the universe, we're here to have fun. We're playful creatures, and we've forgotten that, and we've turned these dreams into a nightmare. So I believe that I'm in my universe, people are becoming a lot happier. I also know that other people want to have their dreams and they want to do it their way and they want to have their experiences. George, you know, people go to horror movies and they go to war movies and those are not the kinds that I like, but certain people like those. So it's like, all right, you go for it. So I know there's always going to be people on the planet that want to have those experiences.
Okay, well, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment. Final hour with Pam Ostley. We're going to take your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM before we get into open lines.